it's because if you introduce it just to in the building for well, certainly you use it out in the fields, it you needs no treatment. But if you use it to in bathrooms, I guess if you don't treat it with chlorine, you end up with green toilets or something or other, I guess, if you use it because of the organics that are in it that then get on the porcelain fixtures or whatever. So it has to be treated somewhat.
But none of these possibilities have really entered the realm of private construction yet, I guess.
I have in the last month I've talked to three different homeowners who wish to build renovate their homes to so-called green homes. Two people want to put down energy-saving well systems where they put down a well 200 or 300 feet in the ground, and they pump the water out of the well, and then they run it through their homes to provide air conditioning, or they use it as a heat pump in the winter with electricity to provide heating from the well source. So, again, just this past year, attitude has changed tremendously. Whoever, if I'm here 10 years from now, green construction will be a substantial part of all permitting that I issue, and I believe it'll be because the building code will require it. It'll become a standard. But I think attitude-wise, you'll see the citizens of Concord will have no choice than to reduce the amount they spend on heating and cooling and electricity for lighting. I think we will see that. And that's what I will face in the last decade of my job in Concord, I would think.
Well, this has been great. Let's take a little pause and
Okay, what are we talking about?
Well, a few years ago, Renee Garrelick, who is a local Concord history buff, she's now passed, and she and I spent some time discussing the old powder mill in Concord, which was a series of some land and a series of buildings up in West Concord on the Acton Maynard Sudbury line, in which since the early 1800s they were making gunpowder. So they called it, it was the road that went up to the site was Old Powder Mill Road. And on Old Powder Mill Road, they hauled in the alder and birch. There were certain types of wood that made great charcoal for making gunpowder, and they hauled it in on this road. Well, as it turns out, my great-great-grandfather, Benjamin Ingham, came over from England, and he took a job. He lived in West Concord, and he took a job up the road in the powder mills. And his job was to, work, either making charcoal or mixing the ingredients. And they had these bunkers built into the side of the hill so that I guess the powder exploded all the time. And so they made the roofs of these little shed buildings so that the roofs were on hinges so that when they did explode, the roof would blow off on the hinge, fold back against the hill, and the embers would blow out across the Aspet River so that it would actually, the hot embers could be controlled because the explosion would always force the explosion out into the water in the river so that it'd be less of a problem for the fire in the area. And to about 5 years ago, I moved into a new place up in West Concord, and my mother said, "Well, it's fascinating because your new home here is sits right on the powder mill where your great great grandfather died in an explosion mixing powder at the mill in 1898 or something." And I had never known that. And so then, after I moved in, I started taking a walk with my son in and around the Aspet River up there and through the woods. And all the old remnants of the powder mill are all there, including the old bunkers built into the side of the hill where they mix the explosives. And so it's kind of interesting that here I am, right back on the same piece of land where my great-grandfather died in an explosion. Renee and I were talked back and forth about, she had photographs that she found in the Maynard Library showing the guys standing next to horse-drawn carts of lumber and charcoal, and show them standing next to the mixing buildings. And so she and I were back and forth because she was talking about a new book dealing with the powder mills. And Henry David Thoreau mentioned in one of his writings about in the 1860s, I think it was, going up, hearing a tremendous explosion that his house shook down in Concord Center. And then when he went up, he saw pieces of body lying up in the trees from the explosion, and he had never seen such a terrible sight in his life. And now that was probably about 30 years before my grandfather was involved in the same thing. So you can imagine for that length of, for 100 years they were doing this, and people were dying mixing this material on this site. And you know, when he died, that was my great-great-grandfather. When he died, my grandfather was something like a child of 3 years old. So he never knew his father that died in the explosion. So that was kind of neat that it had come full circle all those years to be ending up living right there at the same site where my great-great-grandfather had died in this explosion.
Yeah.
And so that's, again, that's kind of an important part of my feeling about Concord and my love of Concord, you know. Otherwise, you know, there's a lot. My mother's sister, Alice Ingham, was town clerk for 30 years.
Say that again.
My aunt, who was Alice Ingham, which was town clerk in Concord for 30 years. I had another aunt, Maud Hunt, who was town accountant for 30 years in Concord. George Hunt, my grandfather, was selectman for like 5 terms in Concord. He ran the train station in Concord. He was a train station master in Concord Center for his whole life, for like 50 years. So all of these, you know, so there was all these connections that my grandmother Grace was town treasurer for a lot of years until she got married. So I guess there's a long history of my family doing working for the town of Concord, which I was lucky enough to be able to, you know, when I told my aunts and uncles that I was going to Concord and I was going to be building inspector, next one, now work for the town of Concord. And it's, you know, somehow I'm still here after 23 years, so yeah.
And then I was wondering when you thought that came to me as you were talking about all these proposed units is how the feeling of community is affected, and whether this progressive town has found ways to let newcomers know what it means to live here and be a community member.
I mean, that's a problem. It's they're not only part of the change that has occurred, I think there's less of the groups that used to bring people together as to feel part of a community seem to be less important in people's lives than they were years ago in Concord. So if I look at all my relatives, they were members of, like, George you know, George William Hunt was, you know, whatever degree Mason, he was, you know, that was his whole life, was he was a Mason, you know, and church affiliation. He sang, you know, in the West Concord Union Church as a soloist, you know. And so there were organizations that, you know, existed in 1800s and 1900s where people were members of, and it was their social groups. And, you know, even when you think about town meeting, there would be, no one would miss town meeting. That town meeting was, you know, a big social event. And nowadays, you know, if you're lucky, you have 20% of the voting population show up for a town meeting. So the institutions or the, you know, the groups that people used to be members of and affiliate themselves with and create friendships in, that create sense of community, I think they just don't exist in the same way they used to, you know, in Concord. You know, where maybe it's TV, maybe it's, you know, the internet, video games, you know, they say that all that stuff's affected even kids playing sports, and you know, just our lives have substantially changed, and I don't think there's a sense of there's not people joining groups like that, you know, the League of Women Voters and the Newcomers Club and the, you know, all of these Knights of Columbus and the there's just not this, you know, I had one uncle who started the Rod and Gun Club in Concord, and another one, the Musketaquid Club, and
Musketaquid
Club, M U S T E Q U I D,
which was
a sportsman's club, and so these clubs were a major part of these people's identity. There's a club that just met to fire cannons in Concord. So the town owned these cannons, and this club was formed, and every celebration they would haul the cannons out, and they would train these people to fire the cannons, and my father-in-law, Ray Lawrence, was a member of that group, and he would fire the cannons. But those types of organizations that formed, that got people together and stuff, I really don't think that it affects the same population, same numbers in the population that used to be as members of these clubs back in the early 1900s. I just don't. I know personally. I'm not, you know, members of these clubs, which I think were a very important part of these people's lives in Concord, you know, for a lot of years.
Well, here you are, someone who's really quite an expert on building structure. What ideas? Anything come to mind?
You have 5 minutes to whatever.
Yeah. What ideas do you have, if any, to build community with newcomers and old timers?
Yeah, what actually seems to be happening is, if you think of this 350 unit development that's about to be built, they actually are creating their own community within that development. So we'll end up with 350 units of housing in which they will have their own meeting rooms, their own swimming facilities, their own tennis court. So within this community will be their own little center for picking up their mail in the mail building, and being able to, you know, use the community center and for playing cards or whatever. And so in a sense, it's kind of, you know, when a project like that comes on, it'll create a little community within the community that we've never seen before in Concord. So that's kind of unusual. In terms of trying to keep a feeling of community, the planning board has done a pretty good job of, through their studies, they have just finished a new thing called the Village Overlay Study, in which they've basically got a group of people together saying, what do you love about the centers of Concord, the train depot area and West Concord? What do you love about it, and what do you think is missing, and what would you like it to look like in 10 years? And that study has resulted in some proposed bylaw changes, and what people have said is they want to have more restaurants. They want to have housing, streetscape businesses with residential units in the same centers of town near the train stations. We have train stops in both centers. So they've actually, through that kind of thought process and master planning, they're now going to be introducing zoning bylaws, which will allow major changes to our zoning bylaw for the center, which will result in allowing uses that everyone has agreed would be great to have, or to allow more to take place. What do you like best about Congress Center? Well, I love Helen's little dining thing in the center, and how come all we have is banks wanting to come in? You know.
And what would
I'm looking to put something in a box.
So the hope would be that by changing the bylaw in this town meeting and the future town meetings, we'll be able to allow these centers of towns to be more residential, have people live closer to where they work, have people closer living to where they can shop, and have people living close to mass transit.